Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Talk to you from my heart today, and I just want to give you a simple little thought here on the life of David. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle. If you underline in your Bible, I would invite you to underline that statement, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besought Rehoboth, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. I'd also invite you to underline that statement. The Bible said this in verse number 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him and lay with, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now, Father, I love you today. I pray, God, that you'd help us today. I pray that your will and way would be done in this service. God, you know the very need of it today, Father, better than we even know it ourselves. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of the hearer. God, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here lost, that you would save them today. Anybody here out of your will, God, may you bring them back close to you again today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into this passage of Scripture for just a little while today. I want to preach to you or talk to you about this thought this morning. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. David, right here in this passage of Scripture, finds himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. If time would permit us, we could go back to the beginning of 2 Samuel. Matter of fact, we could even go back in 1 Samuel and we could begin to follow the life of David. I love, and you know this that comes here all the time, I love to study the life of David. David is one of the most practical men in the Word of God that's written about. We read about David's major accomplishments, man. David has something said about him that nobody else does in the Word of God. The Bible said this about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. Nobody else in the Word of God has that said about him. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. Matter of fact, if time would permit us, we could go to the book of Psalms, and man, we could begin reading many of those psalms that David penned down. David was just a shepherd boy, but when others saw a shepherd boy, God saw a king in a shepherd boy. We know the story that David, as he's keeping his father's sheep, there's a time that came that a lion and a bear rose up against him, and God allowed David to kill that lion and to kill that bear. We know the story of David when he's a young man, probably 16, 17 years old. He goes to the battlefield to take his brother something, and whenever he gets there, there's a giant there by the name of Goliath, and Goliath is defying the armies of God. And David stands up and says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And David, with the power of God, defeats Goliath that day and overtakes the enemy that day. All of that come through the power and the anointing of God in David's life. As we move on through David's life, we know that David ends up becoming a good friend to King Saul. And we know that Saul ends up hating David, and David ends up taking leadership of the nation of Israel. when we come into chapter number 11 of 2 Samuel, David is now king of all of Israel. David is now running God's chosen people. He is the king of Israel. David is a man that loves the Lord. David is a man that knows who God is. David is a man that knows how to walk in the fellowship of God, and he knows the pleasure of communing and having an intimate relationship with God. Can I say this to you in passing this morning? It is so important that we have that today. It's so important that we commune with God and God communes with us. It's so important that we have that time that we spend with God. And David does that. But David comes to a place in his life, and to say, to pinpoint what goes wrong, I don't know that we can. To pinpoint the exact time of something triggering in David's mind that causes him to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, I don't know, Brother Jake. I've read, but there's no red flags that goes up through the Scripture. And David comes to a place in his life where David is supposed to be on the battlefield. You remember verse number 1, the Bible said this: it came to pass at the time when who goes forth to battle? That kings go forth to battle. It is the time that the kings are supposed to be on the battlefield. And the Bible said this, that David tarried still in Jerusalem. Number one, this morning, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. Let me show you a couple things about David right here. Number one, David's out of place. David is out of place. David is not where David is supposed to be at. Where is David supposed to be at? David is supposed to be on the battlefield. Matter of fact, whenever we study the Word of God, and we read on down through chapter number 11, when you come to verse number 11 in chapter number 11, you'll find out that the ark is on the battlefield. The ark of God is on the battlefield. And boy, there's so much we could say in preaching right there. But for time's sake, I'll keep moving. David is out of place, man. He's not where he's supposed to be at. Where's David supposed to be? He's supposed to be on the battlefield. You know what? Whenever we begin to study the Word of God, and in our first Wednesday night of the month, of course, we're doing our group where we break out, the men and the women. Of course, the Awanas is going on for all of our young people, but the first Wednesday night of the month now, Miss Leslie teaches the ladies and I teach the men. And I've been teaching the men this year. We're going to go through spiritual warfare. And there's one thing that is for certain today, is this is a battlefield that we're living on. The devil hates you. The devil hates me. Somebody give me an amen right there. The devil hates your children. The devil wants to destroy your home. The devil wants to carry your kids off to hell and ruin your life. It's a battlefield. And when we find ourselves not on the battlefield, we're out of place. You remember what the Bible said? Now, I don't want nobody to get upset this morning. I'm going to relay to you what God told me to relay to you this morning. Remember what the Bible said in Hebrews 11:25, don't you? Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You know what we do on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? And can I back up and say that again? Sunday night and Wednesday night. Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know what we do? We prepare ourselves for the battle that's ahead of us that week. It's when we come together and we get the spiritual strength that we need and the encouragement that we need and the help that we need, because you know why? Tomorrow is Monday. Tomorrow is, I don't know if y'all know that or not, but it's Monday. You said, preacher, are you excited about Monday? I am excited about Monday, but I'm nervous about Monday also. You say, well, why in the world would you be nervous about Monday? Because we've got to do a proof roll on that pad in the morning. And I'm hoping they say the ground is going to be all right. Monday's coming. And let me tell you what's going to happen on Monday. The devil's going to come against you. You're going to begin fighting demons out of hell. And let me tell you what you need on Sunday. You need to be in the right place so when the battle comes on Monday, you've got the strength that you need. You say, "Preacher, I don't need the church." I disagree with you there. If you didn't need the church, God would have never established the church. Jesus would have never died for the church. And we wouldn't have church. We need the church. Amen. David's out of place. He's not where he's supposed to be. I thought about this. What did the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 2? You study that passage out, here's what he says. He says, "Moreover, it's required of stewards that a man be found," what? "Faithful." That he be found faithful. You know what? If David would have been where he was supposed to be at, the rest of chapter... Let me back up and rephrase here. If David would have been where David was supposed to have been at, chapter 11 wouldn't be in the Bible. Chapter 12 wouldn't be in the Bible when Nathan comes to him. Chapter 13, where his son rapes his daughter, wouldn't be in the Bible. The rest of 2 Samuel practically wouldn't even be in the Bible when Absalom comes against him and tries to overtake the kingdom. There's a lot of things that would not have happened the way it did if David would have just been in the right place. He's out of place, man. He's out of place. Anytime, and I'm just going to say this and I'm going to move on. Anytime something's happening down at the church house, you know where we ought to be? Down at the church house. Down at the church house. So, preacher, I don't need church three times a week. Well, boy, I do. You say, "Why do you?" Let me tell you the reason I do, because I'm wicked and I'm vile and I'm flesh and I have the same thoughts that you have and I have the same tendencies that you have. Hear me and hear me well. If David, the sweet psalmist of Israel's life, can be destroyed and messed up, ours can. He's out of place, man. He's out of place. Number one, David's out of place. Number two, watch this. David's out of fellowship. David's out of fellowship now. Time wouldn't permit us, but if it would, we would go to Psalms 32 and Psalms 51. Psalms 32 and Psalms 51 are what is known as Psalms of Confessions. It's David, the history of Psalms 32 and Psalms 51. The history of that is 2 Samuel 11 and 12. David, as he begins to read in Psalms 32 and in Psalms 51, David began, let me just read you a little bit of it. You don't have to turn, but let me read you just a little bit here in David's life, and let's see what he's saying. Psalms 32, he said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned in to the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto thee, Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my soul," or my sin. You know what? God did forgive David, but you know what he's saying? He's saying this, "Man, my sin is ever before me." David's out of fellowship with God now. Why? Because he's out of place. Because he's out of place. I taught this morning in my Sunday school class. I finished up a two-part lesson on the danger of sin in the believer's life. There is a danger that comes to us when sin's in our life. There is a danger that comes to us. Matter of fact, if that sin is not dealt with, he even goes on to say that he will turn us over to the devil for the destruction of our flesh, not our soul, because my soul is eternally saved. Amen. Eternally saved. But for the destruction of the flesh. Say, "Preacher, what's up with David?" David's out of fellowship with God now. You see, when you're out of place, you begin to lose fellowship with God. You began to lose fellowship with the Lord. I've heard people say, and I promise you, I'm not being mean this morning. I'm not a mean preacher. But I've heard people say this, "Preacher, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God." I beg to differ with you. You can't prove that out of God's Word. I can prove right the contrary to that out of God's Word, though. You say, "Well, I talked to him." Well, you know what? You can talk to a lot of people, whether or not they hear you or not, it's another thing. You say, well, God's always present. That's exactly right. But you know what? Sometimes I talk to my wife and the lights is on, but there ain't nobody home. You ever like that, Brother Scotty? I mean, you going to the doghouse with me this morning, buddy. You fixing to learn, hoss. Where's Gavin at? It's coming, old buddy. Brother Rodney, you ever talk to Miss Sharon? You get done and she says, now what did you say? You say, what do you say out of that? We're usually out of fellowship when I get done after that point. Well, if you didn't listen the first 10 minutes, I ain't going to tell you no. Well, honey, my mind was on something. Well, when I'm talking, your mind's supposed to be on me. Somebody say amen right there. What I'm saying is this. You may talk to God, but I promise you, it ain't what it's supposed to be. Your fellowship's not right. David's out of place, David's out of fellowship. Because David's out of place and David's out of fellowship, guess what happens in David's life next? He becomes out of touch with reality. I'm moving quickly through this. He becomes out of touch with reality. You say, preacher, what do you mean he's out of touch with reality? What does he do? Uriah, when you study the mighty men of David, Uriah is one of David's mighty men. And you know what David does? David sends to Uriah's wife and has her brought to him. He's out of touch with reality, man. What's David thinking? I thought about this. You know the passage well when you study 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. With every temptation, God makes a way of escape. God made a way of escape for David right here. His servant said, wait a minute, David. David, hold on. With all due respect, sir, that's one of your mighty men that's out fighting for our country right now. That's his wife. David's out of touch with reality. You know what he says? Bring her to me. Go get her. Bring her here. Bring her here. Can I tell you something? This is the sweet psalmist of Israel. This is the one that said, this is the man that it said about him that he's after God's own heart. I say that to remind us, if David can find himself in this place, if we become out of place and out of fellowship, we can find ourselves in this place. If you've never read the book, A Tale of Three Kings, you're to get it and read it. It's about Saul, David, and Absalom. It's unreal. It helped me understand a lot of this so much more when I read that book. A Tale of Three, it's tremendous. You can read it in probably an hour and a half. I'm going to tell you something. David's out of touch with reality. Go get her and bring her to me. Go get her and bring her to me. So you know what David does? He has her brought to him. They have intercourse. He sends her back home. But Josh, David says, well, ain't nothing to worry about now. Nobody knows nothing about it. But you remember what the Bible said, don't you? And be sure your sins will find you out. Remember, that's what the Bible said. Here's what ends up happening. David's out of touch with reality. She comes back to him just a month or two down the road. All of that, nowhere during this time do we find any confession by David. David's continuing out of place. Uriah's still on the battlefield. You say, how do you know that? Because David's fixing to bring him off the battlefield. Uriah's still on the battlefield. David is still in the wrong place at the wrong time. He's had warnings. David's continued to live his life like nothing in the world is wrong. But he's fixing to get a reality check. When you read, and I'm not going to take time to read through all the scripture, but when you read, guess what happens? Bathsheba becomes pregnant. She sends word to David, I'm pregnant. David gets a reality check. You would think at this point in David's life, Brother Josh, that David would go, man, I've sinned against God. I got to make this thing right. David at this point gets out of control. He's out of place. He's out of fellowship. He's out of touch with reality. God now confronts him with it, gives him a chance to make this thing right. And what does David do? He goes out of control, man. David loses his mind. That young man that took that sling and slew a giant with it. That young man that killed that lion and that bear. That young man that was the anointed of God. That man that as they walked through the city, they said Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens thousands. David loses his mind right here. He's out of control. What does David do? As you read chapter number 11, here's what he does. He sends a letter and has Uriah brought in off the battlefield. Uriah comes in and stands before David, one of his mighty men, that he slept with his wife, that he's got his wife pregnant. Now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time that David's going to, I'm sorry. Here's what happened when you're on the battlefield. This is what happened. I apologize. I messed up. I shouldn't have been here. That's not what David does. See, one lie, you'll have to tell another lie, to tell another lie, to tell another lie. Before one day, you're just going to have to get it right. You're just going to have to get it right. David don't do that. David says, man, how's the battle going, Uriah? It's going all right, man. We're fighting here and we're fighting there. We've done this and we've done that. He says, all right, man, I tell you what. You go on home. I just wanted a battle report. You go on home. When you get home, you spend the night with your wife and come sun up, you head back to the battlefield. Matter of fact, here's your mess of meat. Y'all go home, eat a nice supper together, and then you take off in the morning. David wakes up the next morning and word comes to David, you know what Uriah did? He went right outside the king's palace and slept with the servants outside the gate. David calls him back in and says, Uriah, what are you doing? And he said, why should I go home when my lord Joab and the ark is on the battlefield? You know what he was saying? David, why should I stoop to your level? Why, I'm supposed to be out there. Hear me today. Do not stoop to the level of others that's out of place. God help us to be your... I'm working on a message on Uriah right now. Look at his character, man. He says, I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. So you know what David does? Well, here's your cold one drink is. David makes him drunk, thinking he'll go home that night. He sleeps again outside the gate. The next morning, David gets up. David takes his pen, writes a letter out, and it says this, take Uriah, set him at the forefront of the hottest battle, and when he gets there, retreat everybody from him. David folds the letter up, seals the letter, seals it, hands it to Uriah, and says, take this to Joab. Takes the letter to Joab. Joab gets the letter. And you know what Joab does? Joab falls to the same mess that David's in. Joab could have kept the life of Uriah alive, but he didn't. That's a whole other message, but he didn't. There's going to come some times in your life. Let me just preach right here, just 20 seconds. There's going to come some times in your life where you don't have to do what's right or what's wrong. Parents, there's going to come some times in our life when we have to stand up for what's right, even if our kids get mad about it. You may, oh Lord, help us right here. You may be sending your kid to their death by allowing them to be out of place. Joab could have stopped all of this. Brother Jake, he could have stopped it. Joab could have folded the letter back up, sent it back to David and said, I will not do it. But Joab, you'll always take somebody else down with you. Joab does exactly what David does, says to do. He sets Uriah at the forefront of the hottest battle, and they murder Uriah that day. He's out of control. It all started, Brother Joshua, just being out of place. He's out of control. Word comes back. They tell Bathsheba her husband's dead. She goes into mourning. After she mourns, David says, come on over to the king's palace. I'll just marry you and I'll take care of you. It's what he does, man. Read the Bible. He's out of control. He's out. Have you ever heard that statement made? That individual's out of control, man. They're out of, I say that about two or three of my daughters every week. I think they're out of control. Olivia, she's losing her mind every time I ride with her. She says her seat's hot. She keeps saying, I don't know why my seat's hot. My seat's hot. I turn it on every time we get in her car. The seat will burn you up. But have you ever heard that? They're out of control. Come start playing something. If you'll trace them being out of control, if they're saved, you'll trace it back to a place they was out of, a time they was out of place. A time that they was just simply out of place. He's out of control. He brings her in. He marries her. Now, everything's smooth. Nobody knows nothing. Joab does. You remember what David told his son Solomon, don't you, when Solomon took over the kingdom? The first thing he told Solomon to do, you know what it was? Kill Joab. It's the first thing he told Solomon to do. Kill him. Let me tell you the reason why. Joab knew something on David nobody else knew. And David didn't want his secret getting out. You study the life of Joab from this point on. In the life of Joab, he's a rebel. He does whatever he wants to do. And nobody ever dealt with him. Why? Because he had the king's letter. You better be careful who you're giving your heart to. You was at that Foothills meeting and heard Bradley Boone preach on that. You remember it. Better be real careful. Better be real careful. Let me say this to you. He's out of control, man. Everything's smoothed over. He's going about his life now. Till chapter 12 rolls around. Chapter 12 rolls around. Nathan shows up on the scene, the man of God. Walks up to David and gives him a parable, what we would know as a parable today. David gets mad and says, I can't believe somebody would do this. And Nathan, man of God, looks at David and says, thou art the man. Thou art the man. God used the man of God to expose what was wrong. David now is left with a choice once again. He can get mad or he can get right. You know what David does? After approximately 10 months, 9.5, 10 months, because the baby's born, so you study it back from conception to the baby being born, around 9 to 10 months later. You know what David does? He confesses his sin. He's out of excuses now. He's out of excuses. He confesses his sin to God. And God forgives him, but the sword never departs from his house. And that baby ended up dying. Sin always will cost you something. God will forgive you, but it will cost you something. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you found yourself recently being out of place? Out of place. Moreover, it's required of stewards that would be found faithful. I've said this ever since 16 years ago when I come to this church, and I say it again this morning. The greatest thing you'll ever do for your pastor is to be faithful. Brother Jake, am I telling it right? Brother, am I telling it right? We got a retired pastor with us this morning. Am I telling it right? It's the greatest thing you'll ever do for me is to be faithful. So, preacher, why do you say things that you do sometimes? Because I'm afraid chapter 12 will come in your life. Out of place. Out of place. Out of place. Out of place. Are you in your place this morning? Are you where you're supposed to be with God? Is there a time in your life that you is closer to God than what you are right now? If there is, then you need to do business with God. You're beginning to head David's direction. All of it could have been stopped, Brother Josh, when the servant said, "Is that not Bathsheba?" Some want to condemn Bathsheba because she's on the rooftop bathing herself. Number one, study the culture of that day. And number two, if David had been where he was supposed to have been at, he wouldn't have had to worry about it. It was his choice to do what he did. Don't blame your sin on somebody else. It was your choice to do what you did. Don't blame not being faithful on somebody else. It was your choice to do what you did. Being in the wrong place at the wrong time. It cost David his son's life. That baby right there died. Then Amnon rapes his daughter Tamar. Then Absalom kills Amnon. Then Absalom tries to overtake the kingdom. Then when you get in 1 Kings, there's another son that tries to overtake the kingdom. It's just, there's no major, from what I can find, there's a few accomplishments in David's life past this point. But from Brother Jake, from what I can find, no major accomplishments in David's life past this point. All of it comes before 2 Samuel 11. You may be in verse 1 of chapter 11 today. May God help us if we are, to get back in the right place. You don't want the rest of chapter 11 in your life. I don't want chapter 11 in my life, Brother Josh. I definitely don't want chapter 12 and 13 in my life. May we be in the right place at the right time instead of the wrong place at the wrong time. Father, we love